Happy to be with you today as we celebrate Wisconsin's State Natural Areas Program. To begin our program today, hi, I'm Larry Mueller, and I'm really looking forward to talking to our two guests today because I think our State Natural Areas Program is a great program and one that has been very successful across the state of Wisconsin. We'll find out more as we visit with Randy Hoffman. Randy's conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources State Natural Areas Program. He works out of Madison. Randy, good to have you with us.
Oh, great to be here, Larry.
Nice to have you back. And Dave Clutter with us as well. Dave is a Natural Areas Campaign Director for the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. And Dave, it's nice to have you as well.
Nice Thank to be
you.
Here.
Thank you very much for being with us. State natural areas. Randy, maybe you can just tell us what those areas are, what they're about.
I'd be happy to. There is a little bit of confusion amongst the people out there because Wisconsin just loves nature. They absolutely love getting out into the woods, getting onto the streams, the lakes, being outdoors. And that is very natural, and the people of Wisconsin absolutely love nature. And for most people, that's their impression of what a natural area is, something other than a city, other than a parking lot, a racetrack, or some industrial area. State natural areas are a subset of that nature that we have in Wisconsin. It's really the best of the best of nature that Wisconsin has to offer. These are places where nature is really functioning pretty much on its own without a lot of human influence. And it's a place where we can really get to understand and learn about how nature really functions and all the plants and animals and the interactions that go on out there in the natural world. That subset that is really doing the best job of working on its own are officially called state natural areas. Now, for years, the Bureau of Endangered Resources has been doing inventory through our Natural Heritage Inventory Program to identify where these areas are. And that data set that we have produced indicates only about 3% of all of the land and water in Wisconsin would qualify as a state natural area. So we have millions of acres of nature out there.
Right.
But only about 3% of that nature has the characteristics and the qualities that would qualify it as a potential state natural area candidate.
And we've managed, Dave Clutter, to over time acquire many properties.
No, indeed. And I just wanted to say, too, that many of these state natural areas, as Randy suggested, there is a hands-off approach on many of these. On a certain subset of those, like prairie systems, for instance, though, there does need to be active management or, in some cases, invasive species removal. And that tends to be in the southern tier of areas. But I think I'd defer to Randy on the more recent additions of state natural areas.
We have over 500 areas designated.
We just celebrated a few weeks ago with the governor in Vilas County up in the Northern Highland American Legion State Forest. We celebrated our designation of our 500th state natural area. Wisconsin's program is the oldest in the nation. It was started in 1951, but the precursor to that, the idea really sprang up with this little-known ecologist named Aldo Leopold, whose idea was to have places to go out and really understand how the natural systems work. And it was his idea, along with some other noteworthy people back at that time, like Albert Fuller from the Wisconsin Public Museum and John Curtis, a famous plant ecologist here at the University of Wisconsin. It was their brainchild to have these areas out there. So that first of the kind in the nation transpired over the next 50 or so years, 50 plus years, into 500 established state natural areas in Wisconsin.
Now, these areas are protected, right?
Yes. Yes, they're protected in a couple of different ways. They're protected either by some designation on existing lands, because some of the properties were bought prior to the establishment of state natural areas, such as some of our really popular parks, such as Peninsula mm-hmm. or Devil's Lake. Those places protected some nature way back in the early 1900s, and we still have that with us today. So we designate on those lands, those portions of the parks that still maintain that really good natural flow. They're not going to be next to the campgrounds, or they're not going to be right next to the, like at Devil's Lake at the South Beach parking area. No. They're not going to be there. But up in the hills that are away from the people, there's still some really good natural features happening there.
And we can, and can people go in and see these?
Almost all of the state natural areas are open for public visitation. We have trail systems on about 60% of our state natural areas. There's some that you're just invited to come in and walk around and,
sure.
And not go on official trails. And we actually don't want to encourage people to go over and over on the same
sure.
chunk of land all the time. But there are a few places where we really don't allow people to come in there at all. We have a couple of places where bats hibernate. Mm. And if we have those open to the public, people are disturbing the bat hibernation, well, it could have some serious consequences for the bats. So there are a relatively few areas that we have that are not allowed for public visitation.
And I want to open the lines. I didn't mention the number, so let me do that right now. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment, I see even though I haven't given the number, we've got Doug online waiting to talk. It's 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890, 263-1890. David, wanted to add something.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that there's a wonderful book put out by the Bureau of Endangered Resources called Wisconsin Naturally. And that features, 150 of the state natural areas that, really do have good access, that are really special, wonderful places. And in addition, on DNR's website, the Bureau's website, they have, maps of all the state natural areas throughout the state. So there's really wonderful information out there on our state natural areas.
And there are a lot of partners. Before we'll get to you in a second here, Doug, but there are obviously when you've got over 500 of these areas now, many of them purchased, involved a lot of partnerships, I would expect, Randy.
Absolutely. We have partners all over the place. We have federal partners on Schwamiga-Nicolet National Forest, Apostle Islands, St. Croix Riverway, Fish and Wildlife Service, with the different agencies within DNR, State Forest, wildlife areas, fishery areas, and especially state parks. But we also have land trust partners, the Nature Conservancy, Prairie Enthusiast, Door County Land Trust, just to name a few. We work closely with Gathering Waters Land Trust to help out with the system. So we can't do it all by ourselves, and we depend greatly on partners. And one of our better partners is with the guy sitting right next to me here, Dave Clutter with the Natural Resources Foundation.
Yeah, Dave, talk a little bit about that foundation, and then we'll go and take some calls.
Sure. Well, the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin is a private nonprofit conservation organization based here in Madison. And we were founded about 20 years ago as a friends group to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. So basically, we try to create, or provide additional leverage to assist DNR and certain programs.
Well, I tell you what, let's go to Doug in Eau Claire and see what's on Doug's mind. Hi, Doug. Thanks for waiting, by the way.
You're welcome. Good morning. I just would like Randy to discuss a little bit of his work that he's done to initiate the natural areas in the lower Chippewa River, and to tell the audience why that area is so significant for the state as far as the habitat for flora and fauna, and also if he wants to put in a plug for the new publication on the Important Bird Initiative.
Okay.
Well, it sounds like this is another partner and supporter out there. Thanks, Doug. The Lower Chippewa River area is near and dear to my heart. It's an area that it's my birthplace, and you get really attached to. There's that sense of place from the area from which you came, and I came from that area without. I had this internal feeling knowing that this place was special to me, but it could have been just a sense of place. And then I began working with the department, and my job took me all over the state. And the more I looked at the rest of the state, the higher this local area raised in my eyes. It was just... We started putting the data together, and in a small little area in the Lower Chippewa River, from the lowest dams in Eau Claire and Menominee down to the confluence of the Mississippi, something like 50% of all the plant species in the state are found there, 70% of all the fish species, almost all of the bird species either nest there or move through in migration. It's just a spectacular area. It has the largest floodplain forest in the entire upper Midwest. It has 25% of the remaining native prairies in the state of Wisconsin are found in this area. And it's just really a special place. A few years back, we presented that information to the Natural Resources Board, and they said absolutely, this is a high priority area for protection, and they gave the go-ahead to establish a 20,000-acre state natural area project on the Lower Chippewa River. Now, this would tie in with the existing properties that are already there, such as the Tiffany Bottoms and in the Dunnville Bottoms wildlife areas, and it would make permanent protection in the long term available on that entire river corridor. As far as the important bird areas go, just as Dave mentioned with Wisconsin Naturally, the department has just came out with another publication, just hot off the press as of the last few weeks, called Important Bird Areas of Wisconsin. It's available through the DNR, and it identifies, I don't have the exact number, but somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 areas in the state that are just incredibly important for the long-term conservation and protection of the birds in Wisconsin. And that's available. It's a gorgeous publication, has color photos throughout, and it's available through the department at our service stations or at our websites.
I've got to stop and get one of those. I don't have that yet. And that really is hot off the press.
Hot off the press within the last month.
Doug, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. We're talking about Wisconsin's Natural Areas Program today with Randy Hoffman, conservation biologist with the DNR, and Dave Clutter, who is the Natural Areas Campaign Director for the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. I'm Larry Mueller, Jim Packard, our producer, and you are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We'll take some more calls now as we visit about our Wisconsin State Natural Areas Program with Randy Hoffman and Dave Clutter. Thanks for listening in. Give us a call if you have a question at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Sue in Waupaca, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I have the great privilege of living next to a state natural area, and that would be Pope Lake on the upper chain of lakes, part of Hartman Creek State Park. And I also lead a guided hike in the summer for the Natural Resources Foundation. I believe a lot of people value the area and enjoy it, but I don't know that they're really aware that it is a state natural area. And I'm wondering, I have two questions, and that is, have you given some thought as to maybe getting more information out so people can treat it perhaps a little more gently when they're using it? And two, do you have any ongoing monitoring of the plant and animal life, and especially checking for invasive species?
Okay. And let's see, well, I guess we'll turn to Randy to start that out. Randy, comments?
Well, I'll start out with the monitoring part first, and then probably start talking a little bit about the information and probably Dave can add to that. The monitoring programs that we have right now are mostly statewide trend type monitoring. And in the Bureau of Endangered Resources, we have an ecosystem inventory monitoring section, and those people do a lot of data collecting and a lot of trend analysis, and they're out there working with the citizens. We have a citizens-based monitoring program in the Bureau of Endangered Resources that helps citizens get involved. And there may be some ways where the local interest people could work with us to help us out with some of the monitoring activities. And that's a good way, another partnership way, and another good way for people with an interest out there to collaborate with the department on some monitoring. And I know that at Pope Lake there is, it absolutely is a gorgeous, beautiful little lake in a highly developed part of the state. And we definitely do have some monitoring needs on those areas. Now, as far as the information goes,
Dave, maybe you could comment on that a little bit.
We really need funds to provide that information, and that's why we have partners such as the Natural Resources Foundation.
Yeah. Well, Sue, first of all, thanks for helping to lead some of our field trips. We lead about 80 field trips a year, and you know, part of the reason is sort of disseminating that information, getting that information out about state natural areas and other special resource areas throughout the state. But, you know, and I should mention that real briefly, we do have a few other campaigns, the important bird campaign with whooping cranes, invasive species campaign, where we are trying to get the word out more effectively to raise issues that, you know, such as Sue brought up. And in addition, our state natural area campaign, which has been around now for 4 years, and this is about a 10-year program. But through that campaign, that's precisely what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to increase monitoring and management of state natural areas. We're trying to raise awareness of state natural areas, why these areas are important, you know, how we should most appropriately treat these areas. In addition, we're hoping to increase volunteer coordination for the management of some of these state natural areas. And through our AmeriCorps program,
Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think we can really build the capacity to achieve those goals through the AmeriCorps program.
And this is a significant grant that was secured by the Northwest Service Academy based in Vancouver, Washington, I believe.
Right.
But we're partnering. Again, it's sort of a partnership there.
It's kind of an odd, convoluted thing, and I'll not get into it. But, it's through a national direct grant through AmeriCorps. And basically, AmeriCorps is, it has its roots in the CCCs, you know, going all the way back. But it's providing national service opportunities for individuals to, you know, get involved in their communities. The grant that we're a partner to, there are a number of other states involved, the state of Washington, the state of Oregon, Idaho, and Alaska. And then Wisconsin is a recent addition. But this is an effort to, you know, primarily focused on state natural areas, almost exclusively focused on state natural areas, with the goal of, again, building capacity for monitoring and management, volunteer coordination, and education and outreach.
So we will actually have individuals hired through AmeriCorps.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To work in these natural areas.
That's right. We're partnering with a number of groups throughout the state of Wisconsin. So basically, NRF is facilitating the state program. The DNR is obviously our primary partner.
Sure.
We're also working with a Nature Conservancy, West Wisconsin Land Trust, Ozaukee Washington Land Trust, Wisconsin Wildlife Federation, Milwaukee Area Land Conservancy, and the Friends of Cedarburg Bog, all of which are nonprofits other than the DNR. But yeah, we're placing 16 people with those different organizations and agencies throughout the state, to provide just terrific opportunities. But also what's unique about our program is that it's very strategic. We're, in fact, the first program in the state of Wisconsin that's exclusively a conservation-based program that not only provides these service opportunities for members, but also is part of a very strategic approach to managing and monitoring our state natural areas.
Who would be hired, or what kinds of, would it be local people that would be hired, or?
It can be anyone throughout the country.
Okay.
Northwest Service Academy in Washington advertises these positions. AmeriCorps generally does. We are advertising locally, you know, through the university system. The interesting thing about the AmeriCorps program is it's not just, you know, quote unquote, young people.
Mm-hmm.
They're actually at the national level encouraging baby boomers mm-hmm. to get involved with this program as well. So, you know, it's opportunities for young conservation professionals coming out of college or, you know, before they're doing their master's degree, but also baby boomers who are coming in with just a terrific suite of experience already.
Mm-hmm. And Randy, you want to add to that?
I think the part that I'll add is that this work is absolutely critical for maintaining our state natural areas. We have a lot of people working on state natural areas, and most of them are either volunteers or through grants, very limited term type employees. And we need to have some consistency in management over the course of time to make sure that these places are still going to be there, get rid of the garlic mustard and the purple loosestrife out there.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Let's go to Barry in Cross Plains next. Barry, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hello. Last week in the town of Cross Plains, a developer proposed putting a subdivision directly on land that's proposed for the Ice Age Trail, with the trail going between people's backyards. If our town board fails to protect this land, is there something citizens can do to try and prevent this from happening?
Well, this is a little bit beyond the scope of the State Natural Areas Program. There are other programs in the department that work with the citizens. There is the we have Ice Age Park people that work through the department's Bureau of Parks. There is the Ice Age Park and Trail Foundation, which is not associated with the state of Wisconsin, that can be working to help work on the development issues that you have out there locally. But this, I would suggest that you get a hold of them, mm-hmm. get a hold of our state parks people, because they would probably be able to give you a lot better information on the situation. They might even know the situation intimately, but the State Natural Areas Program, that would be on the scope of what we work on.
Okay. Thanks for calling, and good luck to you, Barry. Thank you. Sally in Spring Green, your turn. Hi, Sally.
Hi. I've lived here 5 years and have become very familiar with Bakken's Pond, and all of us out here really love it and know it well. We pick off the garlic mustard and are very aware of trying to protect it.
Oh, thank you so much, Sally. We love you, too.
Well, recently I wrote a letter, it was last July, about the mowing of the dike. I'm very concerned about this, and I got a letter back July 5 from Brian Woodbury, wildlife biologist, explaining that he said Bakken's Pond is not a natural area. Well, that's not true. There's even a huge sign saying that it is. And now, having read the Natural Areas book and seeing the map, I see that the sign is misplaced. It's a beautiful sign, and it's now been trimmed so people can see it under the trees. But it doesn't refer to the what's called Bakken's Pond Lower Wisconsin Riverway area or the lake next to it and those dikes. It refers to a dry mesic and oak barren river terrace on one side of Kennedy and a sedge meadow, including open water, on the other side. So that's where the sign should be, and the department should correct their impression that it is not a natural area.
Well, what do you think of that, Randy Hoffman?
Well, I think the sign is in the correct location, and this, again, is a little bit of the confusing part about the State Natural Area Program, because there's a lot of wonderful natural places on the Lower Wisconsin Riverway, and the part of the pond that is close to the dike and the impoundment didn't really qualify under our criteria as a state natural area because of the human influence of building that dike. The part of the pond that was the least impacted and the furthest away from the dike where the sedge meadow was, which is still part of the pond, and the upland part qualified for state natural area status. So there again, that gets back into the information and the public education about what the slight but obvious differences for those of us that work in the program are, and we need to be able to explain that to you out there in the public so much better than we are doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is located just to the right of the first small bridge where the water comes close to Kennedy Road, and that is not the area designated on 247 map grid 08.
Okay, well, we will look into that, and if the sign is in the wrong spot, we do have some technicians in that part of the state, and we will get the sign in the correct location.
Thanks, Randy's writing that down. Yeah.
I'm writing down a note right now.
He's writing a note right now, Sally. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Randy will follow up and look into that. Henry in Minocqua, it's your turn. Hi, Henry.
Yeah, Larry, we live in Minocqua on Lake Shishibagama. We're here, you know, we're Illinois residents, but we're here all summer. There is an island directly across from us, which we can see, and for a number of years, about three, there was an eagle's nest there, and they raised their babies and what have you. Well, there's only one boat landing on the island, and I know it's a state-owned island. It's called Scotty Island. And 2 years ago, my son and his son would go over there, and they saw paintball shots all over trees. Just the paintballs were littered with the paint on their trees. And now this year, he said he went over there. My son went with his son again. This year, there are hundreds and hundreds of these little BBs. They're plastic BBs. He tried to smash one with a knife, and they just won't break. And they're all over the place. Now, my question is this. Do you folks post, there's only one boat landing, do you post that since you own the island that you know, you're going to be prosecuted or you're going to be, detrimentally treated because of the stuff you're doing to our island?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed, we can post closed areas and restrictions and regulations on islands. And again, I'm taking a note down because this is beyond the state natural areas program because this island is not officially classified as that. But I will transfer the information to the wildlife manager up in that area that I know personally, and they will work with the fish manager and see if there's appropriate posting that needs to be done at the boat landing.
All right. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it, Henry. And Don in Germantown, your turn. Hi, Don.
John, J-O-H-N.
John, okay.
Okay. How are you, Larry?
Fine. Thanks for calling.
Another wonderful program. Fortunately, today I'm on the road, and I'm able to listen to you. I have friends. They live southwest of Druid Lake in Washington County, and they have property that abuts a bog lake. It's like a kettle moraine lake, and there's probably about five or six properties, and then the rest is farmland around this lake. When you walk out on their pier, it's very shallow, and it's very boggy in the bottom. It's like walking into the North Woods. And I'm wondering if there's been any discussion about purchasing some of the land from the farmers around that lake and preserving that lake. Because when you go out there, it's just marvelous. It's like you just walked into the North Woods.
Hmm. Yes, indeed. There, in the southeast part of the state, there's what we call bog relics. There's a whole series of these little tamarack spruce bogs, little boggy lakes. They're relatively shallow, although a couple may have deep holes in the center. And around them, it does look like northern Wisconsin. You have little tamarack areas, mm-hmm. and you sometimes have pitcher plants and sundews, and those northern species are out there. The State Natural Areas Program has purchased several of these, And if you think that this property out there is worthy of consideration, we would be more than happy to come out and look at it and do an interpretation on it and see what those qualities are. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I know that there's about five homes on it, and the rest is surrounded by farmland on the edge of the block on the west side. It's north of Rollison Road, southwest of Druid Lake, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful little lake. I know you probably couldn't get the whole lake, but if there could be some natural area around it.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. Could you spell the name of that lake, please?
I don't know the name of it, but what I could do is I could probably write into your website and give that information to you when I find it.
Okay, that would be wonderful.
Yep, good thing. Thank you very much for calling. Chuck and Tomahawk, your turn. Hi, Chuck.
Hello, Larry. I'd like to find out how to go about getting the state to use some stewardship funds or whatever to purchase some land that's now currently owned by Wisconsin Public Service along the river south of Tomahawk. And what is the procedure for, I guess, lobbying for that land to be purchased and put into whatever conservancies or public use?
Okay.
Well, this this, Chuck, leads right into the what we in the state are right in the midst of now, and that's a reauthorization of the stewardship program. This program needs to be reauthorized if we would even be considering your concern up there, because it only has a couple of years remaining on its existing legislative authority, and most of those funds have been accounted for. And if we want to continue this program into the future and have additional, whether they be state natural areas or parks or wildlife areas, additional public open space, we need to have that stewardship bill reauthorized to do that. It's been a long process, and right now the new incoming Secretary Matt Frank has made a strong statement that he wants to have that stewardship authorized at the $105 million level so that we will have the funds to provide some of these areas for the future, so that our children and grandchildren are going to have additional places to get out and enjoy. Just before we got on the air, Larry and I were talking about being up in Door County in Whitefish Dunes and Peninsula State Park up there. If you go back and look at the discussions at that point in time when these places were established, the same argument was being made. We can't afford it. We just don't have the money to be able to have a peninsula park. But at that point in time, it was decided that, yes, we need to have a few of these places around. And through the wise decisions of the legislators back at that point in time, we have a peninsula park, or we have a Devil's Lake to go to right now. The same argument was made back in the 60s, in the 70s, before the Knowles-Nelson bipartisan stewardship program was put into place. And can we afford it? Well, there was a lot of arguments, no, we can't afford it, but we've provided a lot of opportunities for the public to have land to get out and recreate on, to hunt and fish on, and additional state natural areas so that we can learn more about nature.
So I guess if the bottom line is, if you are interested in getting this bill passed, you probably ought to be talking to your legislator.
You better be talking to your legislator. And in your case, Chuck, if you have this land up there that you think should be purchased by the state for long-term protection, I would suggest you get a hold of your legislator and suggest that they move ahead and pass the stewardship legislation.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. I want to go back just a minute to the AmeriCorps program. Mm-hmm. And, David, if people are interested or want to sign up to be, you know, maybe be a part of that program, mm-hmm. How do they do that?
Oh, that'd be, yeah. Well, you know, we certainly encourage all those who might have an interest in this program to at least take a look at it. There are maybe what I could do is I'll give you the website for a starter. It's our website is www.wisconservation.org. So it's wisconservation.org. And on our website, we have an AmeriCorps link that links directly to those positions that are posted at this time. The closing date on those positions are September 15th. So we're taking applications and resumes up until that time. But, you know, these positions are really, you know, really unique. Having done AmeriCorps myself, I worked with the Fish and Wildlife Service about 12, 13 years back. And, you know, not only do you get the experience, but you also just you get an educational stipend where you can pay for past schooling or future schooling, post-baccalaureate or master's work. You know, you get those connections with conservation professionals. I mean, there are just so many benefits to this program, so I'd strongly encourage folks to get involved.
And what kind of work would the – give us an example of some of the kinds of work that might be out there.
Yeah, well, you know, just thinking about the different types of positions, through the Bureau of Endangered Resources, for instance, there's an invasive species position. So actually someone would be working with Kelly Kearns, who's the invasive species specialist with BER. But they'd be, you know, conducting just a whole slew of activities with regard to, you know, monitoring, management, outreach, education. It's really a well-rounded position. Other positions through, for instance, again, the DNR might be more stewardship oriented. So they might do more stewardship management, say 70% of the time, whereas the, you know, 30% might be volunteer coordination, education, outreach. Wisconsin Wildlife Federation has a position at McKenzie Environmental Center, which is a full-time AmeriCorps position. And that's focused on K through 12 education, environmental education. So it really runs the gamut.
And again, the website to go to is www.wisconservation. So WISC and then WIS and then conservation.org and get the information. Do you guys have something on the DNR website too?
I don't think we have it there yet, but we will probably be having a link put up in the near future.
But there's actually only a couple weeks to go to apply.
Yeah, the positions are staggered a bit. There are a couple weeks to apply for the fall positions, but the most of the positions with the DNR, in fact, all but one, will be in March 1
okay.
of 2008. So those positions will be up.
Well, I tell you what, it's a real pleasure to talk with you guys about the Natural Areas Program. We've got a great program here, and I hope you can come back and talk with us again.
Well, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It's been great, Larry.
Yeah. Ben, love to have you back. Randy Hoffman is conservation biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources State Natural Areas Program, works out of Madison. Dave Clutter is Natural Areas Campaign Coordinator for the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin. And as they said, there are a couple of new publications to think about. You can go to the DNR website or just stop by your local DNR office, regional office, and you'll get some information and get those publications from them or just take a look at them online as well. And for those AmeriCorps program applications, you want to become a part of that, go to www.wisconservation.org, the word conservation.org. Thanks again, guys. Coming up, we're going to be talking about sustainable forestry management with John DePlis, who is professor of forestry at the UW Stevens Point. I'm Larry Mueller. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.